Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 89, which is also going to be a special series called Obedience to God or Man, Bible Study Lesson Number 1. Today is October the 21st, 2009. We have reached a point in the study of the historical man of destiny. We must deal with some deep and pertinent doctrines to help you understand how to face the test of life that lie in front of us. Recently, I've had a number of pastors contact me, discussing the issues and seemingly how to adjust their thinking between Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, but the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." How can you obey God rather than man at one point and potentially reach judgment for failing to submit to authority law irregardless of where it comes from or what it is? It creates a great problem. There are many very sincere believers on both sides of the issues of what this relates to, and how far a believer can go in resisting evil and sin as incorporated within law. We're going to have to cover a lot of things to explain this, including going back and taking another look at Genesis chapter 3 and 4. 4 and 5 of the cultures that are introduced, and the concept that I now see as they develop out also the national government and law, and the two systems of where they're at down there. So there's going to be some deep thinking for you, but it's important if you're going to understand your legitimate relationship to government. 40 years ago, there were a lot of people call fighting fundamentalists. The American Catholic Churches was a group of conservative, and by conservative I mean liberal interpreters of the Word of God, literal interpreters of the Word of God, who believed strongly in the importance of applying Bible doctrine in every area of life, and therefore in the defending of the nation. On the other side of the coin, there were pastors who believe that all we do is preach the gospel, teach spiritual issues of doctrine, and stay away from anything that might relate, involve people in the controversies of life around us. It's interesting that I know some pastors who are second generation or third generation pastors sometimes, whose fathers or grandfathers were part of the broad spectrum of standing up and defending the doctrines of the faith and let the chips fall where they may. If these people are more interested in working with and reconciling with organizations and groups whose bridges their fathers or grandfathers burned, ecumenicalism has become the order of the day. Lion patriotism has become the order of the day, my country, right or wrong. We're interested in what other people think. We must come to a conclusion of what does the Word of God teach, and what would God have us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to do, and how do we reconcile the principles between obey God rather than man and be subject to the higher powers. We hope by the time we finish this that you will clearly understand and be able to relate to it. All right, first of all, we need to give you a definition and an introduction. Everything that exists in the universe is based upon two great laws. Before we give you those great laws, we'd better pause for prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and you have absolute objectivity teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return, but it will accomplish all that you designed it for. We pray as we deal with this very pertinent and yet very controversial and deep doctrines, that we do so with clarity through the filling of the Spirit and objectivity. We ask you to help us to make this doctrine real in the souls of those that teach it, to the leading guidance of the Holy Spirit, yet protect them from any error in which we might be in error or misunderstanding. Pray these things in Christ's name, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, the doctrine of establishment is spiritual law, point one. Definition and introduction. Everything that exists in the universe is based upon two great laws. Everything that exists in the universe is based upon two great laws. Subpoint A, whatever happens in time and eternity relates in some way to these two laws. B, in every real sense, our comprehension of why we are on this planet and what is going to happen in eternity depends upon our knowledge of these two laws. C, reality in the true sense of the word therefore means to be aware of the way things really are. The total viewpoint of life. Reality, in the true sense of the word, therefore means to be aware of the way things really are in the total viewpoint of life. D. We must be aware of things not in the limited sense of reality where we face the circumstances of the moment. We must be aware of the way things really are, and not in the limited sense of reality where we face the circumstances of the moment. E. Reality may mean that you have a headache and are facing the task of getting the kids ready for school. This is your example. And this is circumstantial reality. This is your example. Reality may mean that you have a headache and are facing the task of getting the children ready for school. This is circumstantial reality. Principle. Circumstantial reality is based on immediate details and circumstances of temporal life. Circumstantial reality is based on immediate details and circumstances of temporal life. That is, on your relationship to people, geographical places, things, and time. An example that we gave to you, the mother gets up in the morning. She's got a bad headache, but she's got to fix breakfast. She's got to get her children ready to go to school. Perhaps she's got to prepare lunch for them. Make sure they've got their books, their homework, whatever it may be. She may be a homeschooler, and therefore she's got responsibility for training them and teaching them at home. Homeschooling, just like governmental schooling or religious schooling, or secular private schooling must be have a set curriculum, time, system, and order to train the child. The child is going to be educated. It doesn't matter whether you feel good or not. You've got duties and responsibilities there, all right? Circumstantial reality. She has a responsibility to prepare her children for school. She may have to drive them to school or make sure that they're in their place at their desk set up in the area of the home for homeschooling. It has to do with things. She has a headache. That's a thing. That's a problem. That's a reality. She has a real headache. She has to make sure that they have everything that they need preparing them for what they're going to do. And there's time, there's limitations. If they've got a school bus to catch, or she has to have them at school by a certain time, of course, to start school, and she's got a time problem. So she's dealing with circumstantial reality. F. There is another reality that is definitely more important to understand, and that is doctrinal reality. G, doctrinal reality is invisible to the human eye. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11:3. Reading from the New American Standard Translation. We're going to prepare you to understand how to live for Christ and to die as an advantage. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that which was not which is seen was not made out of things which are visible. The ages have been prepared. This means the preparation of all that the successive periods of time would contain. Father's decreative will is total. It includes his directive will, all that he would expect us to do, requires us to do, and is made known to us to do under his revealed will. It includes his secret will, that which he is doing that we do not know. Out of his revealed will, we don't have his directive will, but we understand his permissive will. He permits sin and evil to occur as it runs its course. We have the optional will of God, where he allows us to do things that are not essential to the spiritual issues of life. Directive will and permissive will all relate to the spiritual issue of life, obeying God or disobeying God, seeking what God has or seeking what man has to offer, and ultimately to seeking what man has to offer, seeking what Satan has to offer. Now, principle. Doctrinal reality is just as real as a headache and the pressure of getting your children ready to go to school. Principle. In fact, in reality, in doctrinal truth is concerned, in fact, where Bible doctrinal truth is concerned, Bible doctrinal reality is more real because the headache will pass away. The children will grow up and raise their own children. But the reality of circumstantial and doctrinal issues remain with us. Principle, the reality of these two laws remain the same day after day. For you, for me, for every member of the Adamic human race. H. This doctrine defines the purpose for creation life as well as the function of eternal life, which are two different life forms having two different sources. I. it takes the premise that there are two basic laws which affect effect and affect daily history on this planet, whether we believe it or not. Point two. What is law? Or how do you define it? Subpoint A. According to the Popular and Critical Biblical Bible Encyclopedia, a law is a rule of conduct enforced by an authority superior to that of the moral beings to whom it is given. A law is a rule of conduct enforced by the authority by an authority superior to that of the moral beings to whom it is given. B. This is a definition from the Greek word nomos, N-O-M-O-S. C. In the categorical approach, we see that different authorities may place various obligations on groups of people, things, or their control. D. God the Father has established the law, rule of conduct over all He has created. And He has created all things, John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was anything made that was made. Here we see the work of God the Son. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, we see the work of the Father. Actually, all three members of the Godhead were involved. E. Nothing can possibly happen without taking the characteristics designed by the Father for its manifestation. Nothing can possibly happen without taking on the characteristics designed by the Father for its manifestation. Now, the Father has established laws which govern the behavior of all things, even sin and evil, and the rebellion against God. G. The law of procreation, for example. Nothing can happen in the reproduction of the human race which is not in agreement with the characteristics of the law. G. The law of procreation, for example. Nothing can happen in the reproduction of the human race which is not in agreement with the characteristics of the law. H. It is built into the law that two people who are not legally married can have sex and produce children without reference to any discipline, whatever. I. The law is not designed for discipline. It is designed solely to bring children into the world. This is part of the law of genetics. The law of procreation is related to the law of genetics and the whole concept of the law of reproduction. Sexual intercourse is a part of it. J. This is called by definition an establishment law because it is something that is manifested for both believers and unbelievers. K. Spiritual references do not relate directly to the law of procreation. L. However, there is discipline for fornication by believers, but this does not come from the law of procreation, but from the family court of God. Principle. The birth of children is not considered by the word of God as divine discipline. In reality, nothing can happen unless there's a law that defines, qualifies, and controls the action. First of all, this is a basic reason why there's one in the universe. Principle, every sin is governed by certain laws that relate to restraint and expression. Because God, in His decretive will, has left out nothing essential to the Adamic human race. Point three, what is establishment law? It is an order or decree from God that specific things will exist for the whole of creation. What is establishment law? Point A, it is the order or decree from God the Father that specific things will exist for the whole of creation. B, this order is also qualifications as to character and the time each law is to function. And this order is also qualification as to the character and the time each law is to function. C. Its functions for all creation equally, not a select group as in spiritual law. D. And this law is also definition as to the purpose for each part of creation. E, there are rules of conduct which defines each thing that God creates, and these rules are established by God, not His creature. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. God had a system and plan laid down that brought about creation in a systematic order. Completely. In chapter 2, verse 3, we read, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that He had rested from all His work which God created and made. God had a time period related to creation that was that has various aspects to it. And people look at this and they get all excited about God resting. Well, God doesn't rest. God doesn't need to rest. What it means is that God had completed the creation work He had set about to do under His natural establishment law. If you go back to Genesis 1:21, we read, and God said, everything that He had made, behold, it was good. God created things good. God created things with a purpose in mind. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 18 makes clear that God creates the earth to be inhabited. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, He created not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Point C. It functions for all creation equally, not a select group as a spiritual law. Point D. And this law is also a definition as to purpose for each part of creation. Has to be a purpose for each part of creation. God does everything decently and in order, everything with a purpose. E. The rules of conduct which define each thing God creates, and these rules are established by God, not His creatures. The rules of conduct which define each thing that God the Father created, and these rules are established by God, not His creature. God is the sovereign, supreme being. God is the infinite one who chose to create. God was free to create. God was free not to create. Point four, there are two great laws which became the basis for all other laws. One is spiritual law, and the other is establishment law. Point four, there are two great laws which became the basis for all other law, and I have defined them as establishment or spiritual establishment law. Point A. I call them in full detail the law of the divine establishment for temporal living and the law of the divine establishment for spiritual living. The establishment laws for temporal living, laws of divine establishment for temporal living. Here's your definition. The rule for conduct of all that God has created with reference to creation as a whole. In other words, that which pertains to all creation, not just to a selective group. Subpoint one. Believers and unbelievers alike benefit and are punished by these laws without reference to spiritual law. For example, you eat a poisonous substance, you're going to get sick, perhaps die. Because it was not meant to be digested in the human body under God's biological law of physical life. You rob a bank and you're probably going to go to jail because that was not designed as legitimate work, bank robbery, under the God's laws of national government. Now, stealing violates the principles that relate to governmental order and society and the law that falls under national law, the Codex of National Law. Subpoint two, the development of establishment law in regard to temporal life is recorded in Genesis chapters 1 to 10. It is designed to keep order in society. It has underneath it the first level, which is creation law, that deals with all of what we usually call natural law and relates to the continuation and existence and order of the universe in each and every area of it. It would follow God's laws that relate to, it breaks down to all kinds of subsidiary sections in there, which, as it would cover anything and everything that comes out of the creation type concepts, including animal life, plant life, mineral, there's no life in mineral, but mineralogy, astronomy, keeping of the earth turning on its axis correctly, rain, snow, sun, everything is governed under God's creation law as it relates to the universe, to the earth. Secondly, you have physical body law or biological law that relates to the human physical body. The first one is general and covers everything that is non-human. God's system for what he's got for all of that. Then we have biological law as it relates to the human. We have psychological law, biological law to the human body, psychological law to the human soul. Fourthly, we have the law of individuality. Law of individuality. The law of personal freedom. I've given it to you many times. It consists of volition, the right to make decisions for yourself, responsibility, the responsibility for making good decisions, privacy of your own soul to think and make your decisions from. Property rights, the right to benefit from the decisions that you make. and accountability, whatsoever we sow, that shall we reap. Fifthly, law of marriage, one man and one woman coming together and cohabitating till death do you part. Sixth, the law of family, relationship between the parents and the children. Seven, national government. So, point three, it has seven general categories of manifestation. Creation law, biological law, psychological law, individuality law, marriage law, family law, and independent national government law. Would be spiritual laws. The rule for the conduct of all of God's, all whom God has created, who pass the test of righteousness. Spiritual laws are the rules for the conduct of all whom God has created, who pass the test of righteousness. Principle, they pertain to a selective group of people who choose the thinking of the God the Father as a way of life through their relationship to Christ over the thinking of human viewpoint and through that satanic viewpoint. Selected group of people choose the thinking of God the Father through Christ as a way of life over thinking of human wisdom and through human wisdom, satanic viewpoint. Subpoint one, under point B, only believers benefit from spiritual laws, which both believers and unbelievers are disciplined under them. Only believers benefit from spiritual laws, while both believers and unbelievers are disciplined under them. Principle, the unbeliever will be sentenced to eternal lake of fire for having rejected the spiritual life offer of eternal salvation by grace through faith in Christ. Subpoint two, spiritual laws relate to permanent realities in the, of the universe in which we live. Spiritual laws relate to permanent realities of the universe in which we live. While establishment laws relate to the temporal conditions in the eternal universe in which we live. Three, spiritual law does not change. However, establishment law is conditioned to change. Principle. Establishment law changes through historical adjustment. Establishment law changes through historical adjustment to client nation status or satanic nation status. Client nation status is the status of nations that began with Seth, and the nations where there is freedom to evangelize the lost, teach Bible doctrine to believers, and where the principles of government, the principles of marriage, the principles of family, the principles of volition, free will, and the individuality of the believer and the personal freedom are provided for. Satanic nation status are the nations that are committed to Satan, having gone out and cut themselves off from God. Satan and Cain went out from the presence of Jehovah. This is all introductory now. We'll get to it. It's going to take a while. Some of you had some of this stuff 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. Some of you have never had it. And we've refined and working on things as we go. Point five, laws of establishment in Genesis. the laws of establishment in Genesis. A, in the first 6 days of creation, as revealed in Genesis 1 and 2, the Father set all of the laws pertaining to establishment in motion for the temporal world during the occupation of the earth by the Adamic human race. In the first 6 days of creation, the Father set all the laws pertaining to establishment of temporal life in motion for the period of time, the occupation of the earth by the Adamic human race. Subpoint one, this set the stage for the fulfillment of the angelic conflict issue. We're involved in the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. Subpoint two, will man utilize his volition to choose the spiritual point of view relating to the Father's light system? Or will he choose the cosmic point of view related to the satanic darkness system? Subpoint B. Creation becomes the first divine establishment institution. Creation becomes the first divine establishment institution for temporal living. Genesis chapter 1 sets this in motion. Subpoint 1, restoration of the earth by change during the previous conditions so that human life could exist. Subpoint 2, restoration of the physical laws pertaining to the planets and the earth which control their conduct. Subpoint 3. Creation includes everything that the Father created up until the body of Adam, which would include trees, plants, animals, etc. Look at Genesis 1, 1 to 25. I want you to understand something. In the dispensation of the triune Godhead, also known as dispensation of Alpha, pre-creation eternity, the Father decreed his establishment law. He put into effect creation law as it relates to the universe, to the solar systems, to the planets, and all these things, and brought them into being because this provided the home for much of the spirit world. Those who are under the superior to us, the beings who are known as the sons of El, Meneha Elohim of Job, Genesis chapter 6, with many names for the different ranks and positions. The Angelos, the angel, which is the messenger. The stars, which represent the star systems, the rulers of the star system governments that they had. Principalities, powers, dominions, all the things that are designed in there. God set into existence the system of order because the universe was originally, and much of the universe today is still, under the rule of what we commonly call angelic rule, under Christ. The Lord, the person of God the Son, took upon himself at various times in the prior to his coming in hypostatic union as the God-man, he took upon himself hypostasis, hypostatic union, as God the Son angel, as the God angel. But it was temporary. He did not function as a... He appeared and functioned as the angel of Elohim Jehovah. Both titles belong to him. The angel of Elohim belonged to him in the relationship to the creator role of all around him. We function as Elohim in this relationship, as a person of God the Son. The Father has already guaranteed him, decreed for him, eternal glorification when he fulfills the plan that the Father has, which he is committed to, as the God-man, not as the God-angel. But he organized, Colossians 1 says he organized the world systems. Everything came under his authority, principalities and power and dominion. The angelic conflict, the spiritual warfare, the rebellion of Lucifer, who became Satan the accuser, who became the devil. For the titles for him, the dragon, the serpent. When he organized the rebellion and brought about it, he brought many changes to the created universe. Warfare was fought for an undetermined period of time as far as the human race is concerned. God knows exactly how long it was and how long it lasted between Lucifer and his followers and Michael and his followers. Michael was appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ in the directions of the Father to serve as the commander-in-chief of the angelic armies. And warfare went on in this universe. Much of the problem of the universe that we see in space today. And I believe the total concept of the destruction of the galaxies, of the planets within our solar system here, I should say. Mars, Jupiter, and all these planets and where they're at, inhabitableness and things that they have are totally related to the warfare that went on in the past. This is my belief. You don't have to believe that. We'll understand it better by and by, as the old song says. God will reveal and let us understand these things in the future. But God began his restoration. He set down creation law, and he brings the planets and everything back into possession. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim created. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moved over the surface of the waters. This was the judgment upon the earth. Judgment that came upon this earth because of the angelic warfare. And then, having tried Satan, his angel sent us into the lake of fire. Their appeal has been made. We've discussed that before with you. We'll give it to you again quickly. I believe that Satan appealed his sentence to the lake of fire. Scripture clearly tells he was sentenced on three bases. One, how can a loving God send one of his created beings to eternal damnation, lake of fire? I got this from Pastor Robert B. Thame Jr., Baraka Church, Houston, Texas, many, many years ago. Secondly, I came with this out of my own studies, how can a just God not send one of his created beings who got involved in sin and evil to the lake of fire? Thirdly, Pastor Carl Neal, Bakersfield, California, I got the concept that the challenge that an infinite God could not understand the finite needs of a created being. And therefore, God's plan is imperfect because God could not supply everything needed to fulfill the desires, or we could say the lust, of fallen creation. All right, Satan's appeal was granted by God. A bond was set up. Rules and regulations were set up for limitations of it. We'll study that further along in detail. And what was introduced then was the restoration of this earth and the universe around it, as much as God chose to do it. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were one day, the first 24-hour day, related to the preparation for the coming of the Adamic human race on the sixth day. It is my belief that this happened somewhere between approximately 4004 and 4100, and I think it's 32, something like that, B.C. Usher's date was 4004 B.C. I've seen other dates back to about 1000, 4132, something like that. But man, but this is the earth as we know the earth. It's restorated form. Goes back to then. These are 6 24-hour literal days that we have in front of us. Light is not the sun. Though the sun was not created on the fourth day, the sun was brought into line on the fourth day. We've taught this before. We've covered this chapter in detail. Fixed light existed outside the earth. In reference to that light, the rotating earth passed through a day-night cycle. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day. And the day and the night, the 24-hour cycle dividing this, teaches us that there are two systems, the darkness system under Satan and the light system under Christ. They typify spiritual truth versus cosmic darkness. Then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. It was so. And God called the expanse heaven. This was evening and this was morning, a second day. Now, there was evening and there was morning, one day. Day one. Jewish reckoning begins the time with evening tide in Leviticus 23:32, and undoubtedly based upon the concept of the fact that God began with darkness and then brought in light. Now, the evening and the morning means a day cycle is complete. Since daytime closes at evening and the night ends with the morning, the phrase indicates that the first day and night had been completed. Evening and morning cannot be construed to mean an age, but only a day. Everywhere in the Pentateuch, the word day, when used, is here with a numerical adjective, means a solar day, which we now celebrate as a 24-hour day. The expanse, when he said, let there be an expanse in the midst, the expanse is a Hebrew verb meaning to beat out and spread out. The open expanse of the heavens, which appeared as a vast canopy or tent above the earth. This was the atmosphere around the earth, making it preparational for future living. The waters which were above the expanse, apparently the Father suspended a vast amount of water and vapor from over the earth, making a canopy that caused conditions on the earth to resemble those inside a greenhouse. This accounts for the longevity of human life in Genesis chapter 5, for the tremendous amount of water involved in a worldwide flood in Genesis 6-9. And God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. It was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation and plants yielding seeds and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them which in the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, the trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and for years, and let them be in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth. It was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. And God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Now you will notice that God called the naming of this and other parts of the creation that we saw in verse 10 in the Semitic world as an evidence of the lordship. We'll set down. Look at Genesis 2, 19. Now the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name. Brought forth after his kind. These are fixed boundaries beyond which reproduction variations cannot go, but it is impossible to know whether kind is to be equated with the families, degenerate, or some other category of biological classification. But God set down what would happen and what he would allow to happen. Now, verses 14 to 19, the light source for the first day was replaced in relationship to the earth when the sun and the moon were brought back into their positions in regard to the earth where they had been before the great angelic warfare had thrown them out of kilter and they moved out of their original orbits. The sun and the moon allowed them to distinguish day from night to be signs by which man could get their bearings as well as signs of judgment. They were to mark off the seasons and to give light to the earth. The stars were to become a living thing. We do not have all the records of what was done. But God wrote the gospel in the stars. There were to be signs in the dispensation of Gentiles, not to us. We have the written word of God. Astrology is undoubtedly, in my belief, a apostatizing of what God originally gave to the Gentiles, for which we do not have all the information for in our day and age, because we have the written word and we're not supposed to live that way. But Satan allowed them, encouraged them, God permitted them, I should say, and Satan encouraged them and authorized them to create a false system, the unbelievers, to worship pagan gods around the ideas that were once the signs in heaven to reveal truth. Satan is always trying to distort everything that is based upon truth. Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth in the opening expanse of the heaven. All right. God authorized and created ichthyology, the sea life, and ornithology, bird life, separately created. No. Dinosaurs weren't flying birds that became animals on the earth as taught by the garbage of men today who make me want to puke because they're ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of truth. And Christians run after them and Christians run down to Disneyland and do all these places and they get all excited about Jurassic Park. And oh, look what man has figured out. Man has figured out nothing. God has set down a system based upon his law, his concept. Did dinosaurs exist on the earth in the pre-Adamic world? I do not know. Because the pre-Adamic world was encased in ice and changed everything in a tremendous way. So with that, the Adamic world, the antediluvian world, will face, as we will see, the great earthquakes, the great volcanic eruptions that shaped and changed the whole face of this earth. The great canopy of water above the earth came down over a period of 40 days as the rain poured out upon the earth. In the meantime, the billows of the earth opened up and poured out massive amounts of water from underneath the earth that came out upon the earth down there. Unquestionably, the Grand Canyon was carved out by the flood. I have no doubt about that. And many other things happened. New mountains appeared. The earthquakes, while old mountains suffered losses. The world was changed. But God created the bird life and the fish life. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and seas. Let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after kind. And it was so. Notice there's no such thing as evolution. Biological evolution is a lie created by Satan to confuse believers and unbelievers alike. And God made the beasts of the earth and their kind, after kind, And the cattle after their kind, everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. I believe the first creation here refers to the body of Christ that the Father has designed. Hebrews 10, it says, a body that has been prepared for me. That Adam's body was replicated upon the body of the future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, who came in 4 B.C.? Came in 4 B.C. My apologies, sometimes I get overwhelmed. This is my third hour teaching today and just suddenly tired for a minute. I've got some major physical problems I deal with. And I may yawn without warning. Sorry about that. I'm not as young as I once was, and I've got health problems, but we try to study and teach the Word. Then we have the declaration, the second part. In the image of God, He created them male and female. He created them. We have the creation of Adam and Eve. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, the fall of Adam and Eve occurred about 4,000 to 4,132 years ago, by the way. But we do not know how long Adam was on the earth before the fall. I should have pointed out to you. That was probably about 1,900 years, 1,000 years in which he passed the test of the law of individuality, and about 900 years in which he was with Eve before they failed the test of marriage, according to my personal opinion. Now, and God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has yielded seed, it should be food for you, and every beast of the earth and every bird of the sky. To everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given the green plant for food. And it was so, and God saw that He had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from the work which He had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. All right, our time is up. We will pick up in the next class and begin to look at the other concepts. All right, we saw in the creation law, biological law, that relates to plant law, botany law as it relates to plant life, botanical law. And each branch of law as it relates to the different creatures that God created. Father, we thank You for the privilege of teaching Your Word, for Your Word is absolute truth. We claim Your promise. Your Word will not return void, but accomplish all You designed it for. Sanctified and blessed, we ask You. In the name of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.